Hi, my name is Sam Richard. You might know me as Snugug on the internet, and this is episode 36 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host. He recently started running to lose weight. Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I'm talking with Sam Richard. Sam is starting as the senior front-end developer for NBC Universal, having previously worked for a variety of governmental and nonprofit groups, including the World Economic Forum and the New York State Senate. He recently gave a talk on responsive web design using SAS and Compass at DrupalCon Munich, and today we're going to be talking about his base theme, Aurora. So Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Do you want to start out by telling us a little bit about you and where you're from?
Sure. My name is Sam, Snugug on all the internet. I am from the New York metropolitan area. I've been working in Drupal for about 2.5 years. The most recent project that unfortunately not many people are going to get to see that I worked on was a private area for the World Economic Forum's members. And I'm starting work at NBC Universal, so hopefully fun stuff and interesting stuff will come from that.
Cool. What actually got you started with Drupal?
So I got started with Drupal while I was at the New York State Senate. Andrew Hoppin, the CTO at the time, Sheldon Rampton, the senior developer, and Noel Hidalgo, who was the project manager, all kind of took me under their collective wing and taught me Drupal so I could help build the open government stack that the New York State Senate runs. That was about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. What was your job there before they had you do that?
I was effectively a print project manager for senators' offices. So a senator would like something printed out, and I was in charge of making sure it got designed, getting sign-off for the designs, and getting them printed.
Okay. So you went from print design to talking about responsive design, which is anti-print design.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, let's jump in and talk about your theme, Aurora. How did Aurora kind of get started? What's the backstory?
So front-end developers pretty much everywhere have their own collection of stuff they like. The stuff that I like mostly doesn't have anything to do with Drupal. It mostly has a lot to do with SAS and some of the awesome stuff that I've built or I've helped with SAS, because that's really what kind of gets my responsive web design juices flowing, so to speak. So none of the base themes that were around at the time I visualized Aurora really did exactly what I wanted. The big ones at the time, Mothership, Zen, and Omega, all either were too far out for what I wanted to do or too site-buildy for what I wanted to do. Nothing was clean and stripped down and just gave me the bare minimum needed to get up and running with the SAS that I wanted to do. The closest thing that I saw to that was the HTML5 project, which was an attempt to, and it's still in progress, to backport the HTML5 templates and enhancements going into Drupal 8 core for a Drupal 7 base theme. So the original build of Aurora was essentially the HTML5 base theme with some enhancements on top of it to move JavaScript to the bottom, to have Modernizer at the top, stuff like that. The little stuff that I like for my themes. And so I jumped in. I was helping out with the HTML5 base theme, built Aurora, and then a couple weeks ago when I finally had some time to sit down and really crank on Aurora itself, it kind of evolved into the 1.0 release, which is a fully contained, essentially HTML5 starter kit with HTML5 templating and a few enhancements to get you rolling, but that's about it.
Okay, so you mentioned that you didn't like what you were seeing in the other base themes. Can you maybe explain a little bit about which ones had too much site builder stuff and which ones didn't have enough and what those issues were?
Yeah, sure. So Omega was the first one that everyone sort of really loves. And I'm talking about Omega 3 here. I had the privilege of seeing Omega 4 while I was in Munich, and I really like a lot of what Omega 4 is doing. In fact, some of what Sebastian is doing in Omega, I'm going to be bringing into Aurora, I like so much. But with Omega 3, I found Omega 3 exceedingly clumsy, not very performant, and requiring a really ugly, non-intuitive stack to get to work. So I really dislike Omega 3 from the get-go. It's kind of like, it seemed to me kind of like what would happen if you threw a bunch of junior developers together and asked them to create a base theme for responsive web design. That sounds a little bit harsh, but it really rubbed me the wrong way. Then you have Zen and Omega, both of which I like and I've taken some inspiration from, but I found Zen a little bit too complicated for my needs. It does a lot, and John Albin's done a lot of great things with that, but I found it a little bit too complicated for my needs. And then Mothership, I like where Morden's going with it, but when I first tried it out, it wasn't very stable. So I wasn't going to pin my hopes and dreams on a base theme that wasn't quite stable. So that's kind of what drove me to build Aurora, is needing a little bit of this and a little bit of that from a couple different projects and not having a single base theme that had all of my little bits in it.
Right. Okay. So one thing I noticed when I first checked out Aurora is that it's got some incredible documentation. It includes a PDF in the download, and then you've also put a free ebook on the iBook store. And as far as I know, you're the first theme developer to do that. So what made you decide that the level of documentation needed to be so high?
I think it needed to be high for two reasons. The first reason is documentation sucks. And What's worse than writing documentation is going to use a project without documentation, or really poor documentation. So I felt it really important that even if you are a senior front-end developer, even if you are like a very experienced front-end developer, some of the stuff I'm doing may not make sense unless you can sit down and talk with me. So what's the next best way to sitting down and talking with me is for me to write extensive documentation. I also found it important, especially for the first chapter of installing SAS and Compass on the various different systems, that I haven't really found that anywhere. That was all kind of pieced together from needing to explain it on the fly. Actually, that specific chapter comes from a bunch of boffs we had at DrupalCon Denver. So it's part a need to have everyone kind of understand where I'm coming from with Aurora, because it's a very different type of base theme for Drupal. And part needing to have a way for people to understand the system without talking to me. It's documentation. Okay. That's what it's for.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so then in that first chapter, you talk about needing to install Compass and SAS. So what, I guess, can you kind of go over all those requirements and the things that are needed to do in order to start using this theme?
So there are basically three things you need to do to start using Aurora. First, obviously, is download the Aurora base theme, because all of the templating magic and some of the JavaScript magic happens in there. Second thing you need to do is you need to have SAS and Compass installed, which means that you're going to need Ruby installed. There are some ways to compile SAS and Compass through PHP. None of them are particularly reliable, and none of them work with the Compass extension that I've written to create base themes, or any of my documentation. So you really do need Ruby. You don't necessarily need Ruby on the server, but you certainly need Ruby in the environment you're developing. So if you're developing locally, you need Ruby installed locally, and then obviously Sass and Compass, and the Compass gem. The third thing that you really need to get started with Aurora is you need to have a working knowledge of Sass and Compass and responsive web design. It's really not designed as a beginner's base theme. It's really designed as an advanced base theme. That if you do responsive web design often, you will immediately see the benefits of all the different tools out of the bat. If you don't do responsive web design a lot, or you're very new to it, a lot of the tools may seem new and scary, possibly. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's only so much I can write in documentation. Things like, what is responsive web design? How do I use Sass and Compass? Those are better left for mediums that are not my documentation. Right. So it does make the assumption going in that you know what the tools are that I'm providing, or understand the documentation that those tools provide and how to use those tools effectively.
Okay. That makes sense. So assuming someone does know everything they need to, what would you consider to be Aurora's best feature? What makes it stand out from the rest?
So to me, Aurora has two awesome features that make it rise slightly above the rest. The first is it's just plain old simplicity. It's the actual base theme and the Drupal pieces to it are very, very slim, very, very small, and pretty easy to read, and actually pretty well documented in line. So if there's something you don't understand, it's pretty easy to grok. The second thing that I think is Aurora's big bonus really has nothing to do with Drupal and everything to do with the time and energy that has gone into the tools that make up Aurora that you get. So there are four primary tools that you get with Aurora when you create a base theme. You have two options for fluid semantic grids, one of them being SUSE, which is created by Eric A. Meyer. Not that Eric A. Meyer, a different Eric A. Meyer, which is great for symmetric fluid grids. You get Singularity, which is a project I've worked on with a fellow developer named Scott Kellum for asymmetric semantic fluid grids in a similar vein to Grid Setup. There is Breakpoint, which is a SAS Compass extension that I've written with Mason Wendell, which makes handling and using and dealing with media queries a snap. And then you get Toolkit, which is a bunch of progressive enhancement-friendly responsive web design type tools for CSS that make building your sites a lot easier. So really what you get has nothing, the strengths have nothing to do with Drupal. The strengths have everything to do with the Sass and Compass stuff that you get from it being a Sass and Compass based theme.
Okay, so pretty much everything you talked about at your DrupalCon talk?
Yeah, pretty much. Aurora is the toolkit templates wrapped into a Drupal usable theme.
Okay. Cool. And I noticed on the project page for Aurora that it says it utilizes the companion module Borealis. What exactly is that?
So Borealis is a set of tools that I've created and am currently still building to make responsive web design and HTML5 building in Drupal easy. There are currently two tools in it. One is semantic blocks and one is responsive images. Semantic blocks is exactly as you think it would be. It's a way to create semantic blocks with Drupal. You can do it through the front end or you can do it through the back end, and it basically adds different templates for blocks. Responsive images, on the other hand, is a little bit more complicated, and it's a little bit of a different solution to not only the current proposed drafts, but to the other Drupal solutions. Basically, what Borealis Responsive Image does is you choose which of your predefined image styles you want to be responsive with a pretty little checkbox, and then you use those image styles as normal in views, in displays. And it will, through some JavaScript that I've written, swap out your images, but only swap out an image to the size that is needed and not based on viewport size, which is what makes it different. So in theory anyway, the responsive image solution that I've written unfortunately could never have been part of HTML spec because of the way that HTML is designed, but through JavaScript polyfills provides us with a pretty interesting way of using JavaScript to get just what we need. I'm working on including lazy loading straight into the responsive image solution, so you get content-based responsive images and lazy loading all in one. But the important thing to point out with Borealis is that you can use it with any theme, any module, or any theme that you would like, not just Aurora stuff. I just happen to have built both and use both together, and I like both.
Okay. So for the responsive images, do you have to set up different image styles at different sizes, or how does that work?
Nope. The idea behind my responsive image solution is you shouldn't ever need to touch breakpoints. Breakpoints are arbitrary things, and they should be kept as arbitrary things. So you go into your image styles, create a base image style that you want with any of the image styles that you have and any of the options that you have, and tick the I want this to be responsive on the responsive images admin page, and then just use an image and call your original image style. And what it will do is it finds the nearest non-inline elements width and determines whether or not it needs to swap in an image based on that. So it comes defined with a whole bunch of different image minimum sizes, and it'll swap in based on nearest parent to, in theory, allow you to use the same image style on different parts of your site and have the images swap in at different sizes to ensure that only the image sizes that are needed are loaded.
Weird.
A little bit. It's a different way of thinking about responsive images that I particularly like.
I'll have to check that out. I'm about to do some responsive images on a site I'm building now, so I'll take a look at that one.
Cool.
Okay, so I had some questions from people on Twitter who I told them I was going to be talking to you, and so they wanted to know some things. And Paul Johnson asked the first one, and he said, why would somebody choose Aurora over Omega?
So kind of like what I said before, this is especially with Omega 3. Omega 4, like I said, looks really good, and a lot of the qualms I had about Omega 3 are gone away in Omega 4. I'm still going to use Aurora, but I like the cut of Omega 4's jib. But essentially, why you would use Omega over Aurora is if you know responsive web design. Omega and its layouts, as an example, are very much designed for people who would like a responsive website but don't know responsive web design. And this is especially true with Omega 3, with the idea of context and delta and the default device breakpoints. It's very much so for people with a need, but without the time or the resources or the knowledge to do. Aurora is very much designed for the people who know and wants to do by hand. One of the things with responsive web design, great responsive web design, is it's all about your content. And you really can't do responsive web design from the back end. And any tool, including some of the awesome stuff that's going on in Spark, is nice, but will only get you so far. So Aurora is really designed for people who know responsive web design and are prepared to do design in browser and design from the front end and breakpoints based on content pieces.
Okay. He then asked, do I need to be more of a techie themer to use it?
You don't need to be a Drupal techie themer to use it, unless there are like pre-processed things that you really like that some of the other base themes have that aren't available in Aurora. Like creating new breadcrumbs is a pain in the ass. Zen has an option to create new breadcrumbs. I don't. So in that sense, you need to be more of a Drupal techie themer, but it's not so much about being a techie themer as being a patient themer and someone who has the time and resources to really do responsive with a team and do it iteratively and do it in browser.
Okay. So this is my question, but you just mentioned in browser. So is this all using the same techniques that you showed in your DrupalCon presentation to do it live in the browser?
Yes. Aurora is designed with design in browser in mind. I have integrated as one of the development options the ability to throw the live reload script straight into your theme. So live reload is something that I talked about in my talk. It is a little app that will do a soft reload of assets upon asset save. So if I save a SAS file, it gets compiled into CSS, and I see it in my browser change without refreshing my page. So yes, it's very much so designed for design in browser and has tools to help you with that.
Okay, cool. That was something that I thought looked really good. I haven't used any design in browser things like that. But you were mentioning in the talk that like you can have five devices in front of you, like Android and iPhone, things like that. And when you save something on your desktop and reload it in your browser, it reloads across all the devices?
Yeah, so that's Adobe Shadow.
Oh, right, okay.
And that's Adobe Shadow plus Live Reload. So I have the Live Reload integration. I am working on building a little viewport indicator to tell you what your viewport size is in pixels and M's, as well as a viewer for what Modernizer has shown that the browser is capable of. So if you have the same website open across all your different browsers with Adobe Shadow, you will see not only all the assets reload, but you will see all of the viewport sizes for all of them and what features they support, which I find is something nice to have because you can't always inspect element on devices and see what Modernizer says they support.
Right. Okay.
Something I'm working on.
Cool. Okay, back to Paul's question. He asked one more, and he said, what's the learning curve like? And I think I'd like to break this down into maybe three different questions. So like, what's the learning curve for a beginner themer, somebody who is a advanced themer but hasn't done responsive web, and then, you know, an advanced responsive web designer?
So I would say for an advanced responsive web designer, the learning curve is pretty minimal. The learning curve pretty much revolves around learning the SAS tools. And especially for Breakpoint and for Singularity, we've made a point of having really good documentation for them. So, and they're pretty intuitive. So the learning curve for an advanced responsive designer probably isn't so much. For someone who's been working heavily with an Omega type base theme, it's going to be a larger learning curve. They're going to need to learn how design in browser works and kind of wean themselves off of the idea that I can do this all from the back end. And for beginner themers, honestly, I wouldn't say they should look at Aurora. Aurora is not designed for beginner themers. Their learning curve is going to be very steep. It needs to pass through not just SAS and Compass, but responsive web design and Drupal theming to get to Aurora. So depending on your level, the learning curve is either very small or very large.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Tony Groff responded and had a few questions. And his first one is actually about the fact that the project page was dated in March of 2007. And so he was wondering if you acquired that namespace from a previous person or how that kind of happened.
Yeah, so I actually did acquire the namespace from a previous project. There was a base theme, an Aurora base theme. It was a Drupal 5 base theme. It was a, if I remember correctly, a school book type theme that I believe made a point of saying that it wasn't a table-based layout, that it was a CSS-based layout, so going back quite a ways. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted the Aurora namespace, so I went through the web developer issue queue, followed the steps for attempting to claim a namespace, and after successfully following those steps, I was given the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Cool. All right. Okay, then he asks, what is the Borealis suite? We kind of just talked about that. But he asks, should I always be using Borealis with the Aurora theme?
I would say yes, because I built both, and I like both, and I use both together. You don't necessarily need to. They are not tightly coupled in any stretch of the imagination. Semantic blocks is something that I find is pretty important, so I generally would suggest using semantic blocks pretty much anywhere with everything, especially if you're doing an HTML5 theme. The responsive image solution is a little bit of a strange solution. I appreciate the fact that it's not a standard solution, and it's not going to be liked by everyone, but if you happen to like my responsive image solution, I would say, yeah, go ahead, use it. Use it on everything. I am.
Okay, yeah, cool. Then he asks about SAS partials in CSS abstraction, and he asks, is it best practice to declare the block header class in both the layout.css or SCSS partial and the design.scss partial?
So the way that I work with partials is I do exactly that. What I actually do is I break up each discrete block on my page into a folder, both inside of layout and inside of design. And in there, I have partials for each individual piece of that block. So if you look at the Drupal.org homepage, the search bar on the homepage, I would define that as a block. So a folder, something like search bar or search bar header. And then I would have a text box partial and a search button partial inside of there for both layout and design. And I would have all the box model stuff in layout and all the design stuff in design. So the actual selectors do in fact get written twice. But the CSS performance hit I've seen from that is negligible at best. And I take that performance hit in exchange for increased usability and writability, I guess, separation of concerns. So partials are neat in SAS because it truly allows you to separate layout and design. And that's kind of what I'm suggesting with the partial layout for that comes with Aurora.
Okay. And then his last question was about your involvement with the HTML5 project. So how are you involved with that?
So during DrupalCon Denver sprints, I worked with Jacine and the HTML5 team to backport a bunch of the Drupal 8 stuff to the Drupal or to the HTML5 project. And Jacine wound up giving me co-maintainer status there to help continue backporting. So I was involved with that pretty heavily a couple months ago. Unfortunately, haven't been very involved recently due to work things, but I'm involved with the HTML5 project. I like what it's doing. It was my original inspiration for Aurora as a kind of stripped down, bare bones HTML5 starter theme.
Hmm. Okay. Cool. Well, those are all the questions that I had written down. Is there anything else that you can think of that we might have missed?
None that I can really think of.
Okay.
If anyone has questions on SAS or Compass, great resources for learning SAS and Compass. Both the SAS documentation at saslang.com and the Compass documentation at compass.com. sass-lang.com, so that's sass-lang.com, S-A-S-S, and compass-style.org are great places to go, as is the sassway.com, T-H-E-S-A-S-S-W-A-Y. Good people to follow on Twitter for SAS advice are myself, Snugug, Mason Wendell, who is at Coding Designer, Claudina Sari, which is at It's Miss, M-I-S-S-C-S, so It's Miss C-S, Chris Epstein, at Chris E-P-P, Chris E-P-P-S-T-E-I-N, and at Compass Susi, at Singularity G-S, and we tend to hang out in the IRC rooms, SAS and Compass, so S-A-S-S, and C-O-M-P-A-S-S in Freenode. So good places to get resources, or to get resources, ask questions about SAS and Compass.
Cool. Excellent. Okay, well then let's go ahead and wrap this up. I always ask my guests a couple of questions just because it's kind of fun to hear their answers. But the first is, what is something that you're kind of excited about that you think is, that looks really cool, or something that you're not working on, but you just think looks really useful?
So I'm actually really excited to see the final release of Omega 4. Like I said, I was treated to a little preview of it by Sebastian at DrupalCon Munich, and it's doing some really, really creative things. So I'm excited to see the final release of that. I'm also really excited to see the Spark Initiative's WYSIWYG type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, what I'm excited for that is the integration of Blocks Anywhere, or I think it's Blocks Everywhere is the actual initiative name, with text input. So token fields that actually link to blocks is something that I'm very, very excited to see, and that's an upcoming thing in Drupal 8. Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, you kind of already gave us a lot of information about where to get help, but where can people find out more about you and your projects?
So there's my website, snugug.com, S-N-U-G-U-G.com. I warn everyone, it has a severe case of cobbler's shoes, but that's a good place. My GitHub account, github.com/snugug. Then there's drupal.org/project/aurora, which is this theme's project page. And then all of the various little projects inside of documentation and inside of my responsive web design talk have links to all of the different projects. Some of those projects I work on, like Toolkit or Breakpoint or Singularity, those all are good places to get information about those specific projects.
Excellent. All right, cool. Well, I guess that's everything. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me. I really enjoyed it, learned a lot, and I'm going to at least try to check out Aurora.
Great, cool. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you later.
Cool, later. Bye.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.